Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
And Dan Ferk with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, MLB Network, NHL Network. We're going to talk more baseball than hockey here, seeing as how we have never had an NHL team here, Adnan. But maybe you could comment on the Boston Bruins and what they're doing. Is this one of the great teams of all time?
John, Lance, great to be with you guys. And no problem. You can call me Kirk anytime you like. Captain Kirk. It's one of my nicknames. So, listen, Bruins have been amazing. Just to think that they could set a record in terms of wins in a single season and points, it would be remarkable. And we really just haven't seen this because in today's era of hockey, you know, generally there's not been super teams. A lot of teams get bunched up towards a lot of parity and kind of fighting towards a playoff spot. That's the case in the Eastern Conference with regards to the wild card. But the way that Boston has separated themselves, it's really remarkable. You know, for years they've been kind of a one-line team, but now they've got a lot more depth. Their defense is great, and they've got a couple of really good goalies in Linus Ullmark and Jeremy Swayman. So this is the most Boston Bruins hockey ever discussed on a Houston Astros radio station.
Yeah, absolutely.
No question.
One more question, and really quick. Donnie Granato is my cousin, and
nice.
And I want to know how, if he's going to have a job in case I ever need to borrow some money from him. How long is he going to keep that job?
Well, that's the thing. As soon as I saw Granato, I said, okay, well, this has to be a Granato fit. Tony Granato, of course, I remember the great hockey player, and Donnie mentioned so.
Cammy.
Listen, hopefully he's, Cam Granato. You're right, there's a lot of Granatos. So, listen, I think Donnie will be safe for a while. I think he's in good hands. It'll be fun.
He's doing a nice job. That's good. So, in case I need money, I got all of them
I can borrow from.
They're all
doing
sure well.
You can borrow money. Yeah.
They're all doing well. All right, let's talk about, okay, first of all, the changes in the rules. And then they just changed the rule again now where the pitcher can't get set until the batter is set with 8 seconds left. And Corbett Burns was none too happy about this. With just a couple of weeks till we hit the season, he says, you're changing more rules. Do you think it's fair to be changing rules right now?
I think it's better to do it now than to be too late, right? There's nothing worse than if you're mid-season and all of a sudden you change the rule, then everyone gets angry. So there's a reason why it's called spring training. This is where you work out the kinks and go, okay, we thought this was working, but here's one amendment we'd like to make. I totally get where Corbin Burns is coming from. Hey, I'm trying to learn something new, and now you guys are adding something else in there. I totally get his frustration, but again, it's better to do it now. Once the regular season starts, then people kind of feel like you're locked in, and for lack of a better term, you want to go that way. I imagine, you know, the big controversy as far as the stuff guys are putting on their hands, right? We had to do that during the season as far as banning the substance, spider attack, et cetera. So I don't think it ever looks good when it's during the season, but spring training, that's why you have it. You work out the kinks, and so far, to me, it's been great. I mean, listen, these games are flying. When you saw a spring training game ending in 2.5 hours, you're like, oh, my God. Like my friend Tim Kirchin pointed out there was like a 12-7 game that he called. He goes, normally that would have been a four-hour spring training game. It was 2 hours and 59 minutes. So far, the pitch clock has done exactly what baseball needed, which is to speed things up. Again, I get Burns' frustration, but so far I think most players actually like it.
Yeah,
like
because
the fact that games quick.
And there were loopholes that needed to be. We saw how some of the pitchers had started to really. I think it was Scherzer who came to pitching. Well, he waited. Yeah, he came to set positioning and waited for that clock to go down and take the hitter out of his rhythm. And so there's some gamesmanship that needed the loopholes needed to be closed and better to do it early than later, without question.
That one you're specifically talking about, you're right, because what happened is the rookie was set with like 18 seconds left. So Scherzer waited until there was 4 seconds left and then pitched. Just 14 seconds of intimidating the guy. That's not what the rule was meant for.
No. And so Major League Baseball has to close up some of that, without question. But it is going to be here to stay, I think. One thing I want to ask you about is I kind of like the idea of the shift, although Major League Baseball teams have already said, oh, yeah, well, we'll just shift our outfielders and we'll still have super shifts. However, I think that does entice hitters to maybe work on bat control a little bit, because if you can lace it down that left field line, you may run forever. I mean, we're going to see probably more inside the park home runs than we've ever seen if they try to shift the outfielders.
Are they going to do anything about that, the left fielder playing short right
field?
Well,
it's more – Yeah, I don't know if they'll do anything about it. I don't know that they can. Can they, Adnan?
No, I think it's going to be, Lance, if it's like extreme situations like a Joey Gallo, you might have teams, like you have said, having a left fielder go into that hole there on the short right field. Listen, it's incredibly dangerous, as you guys said. I mean, that's just a massive hole if you're willing to do that. So I don't think most teams are going to do that unless, like I said, it's an extreme situation. Otherwise, it's just too risky. But this goes back to the whole point of the shift. For those who actually like the shift, they said, well, the player should just beat it. Like, you know, why is it that hard? Why is it that difficult? And I understand that thought process because I get that. Like, there's this huge hole to hit over there. But it's easier said than done. It's why baseball is so tough. It was almost just – you're at the point of no return when you looked at these rules because you go, oh, my God, the batting average is like 236. Who the hell wants to see, like, an average batting average at 236? You got to do something. So the shift, although I didn't like it in that you're eliminating intelligence, right? Because that's a very smart thing to say, hey, these guys are hitting a certain way. Let's go against that. Now you're regulating against intelligence. But the whole point is it should make the game more aesthetically pleasing, and it should be more like the game that we grew watching and the room that we all grew up playing. Like, it's just annoying, right? There's no other better word for it. It just got annoying seeing so many guys robbed of hits because of all the overshift.
Well, it's the equivalent of basketball becoming just the space out ton of three game where a lot of the elements of basketball have been lost because the analytics basically fine-tuned everyone's thought process towards math. And we know that before basketball even had it, baseball's been doing it. But it was only relatively recently that the super shifts and things like that came into being. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think the math at some point can start to do some damage to the fundamental game that was created because everyone wants to just take away certain elements that they know are going to be there. Well, I'm glad they banned the super shift. Now, I do want to ask you about the giant bases. What was the rationale behind the giant bases? I know it's going to be safety related, but do you think that was really needed?
Yeah, we had Theo Epstein, who, of course, in many ways was responsible for the shift becoming so popular because his team's won World Series and he really believes in the analytics. But Theo's now a consultant for Major League Baseball and a super smart guy, and he said to us, listen, each of these rules are going to be impactful. The pitch clock, I said, yeah, I'm resoundingly in favor of that. I'm with you. Basically, we're going to go from 3 hours and 3 minutes to 2 hours and 40 minutes. You can chop 25 minutes on average. That's a win. The shift, again, that will get batting averages up. Okay. The pitcher not being able to throw over only once and stepping up once. That should increase base stealing. Okay, theoretically. And then the giant bases, as you said, part of it is safety, you know, less collision, especially at first base. And the theory is, I think, a little bit that there'll be more stolen bases. Now, I'm not totally sold here, guys, just because these analytics and these front offices are so risk-averse. They look at it as you only have 27 outs. Why would you give up an out trying to steal second base in a tie game? So the thought process is, well, the pitcher not being able to throw over as much and the giant bases, that two bases makes it a little bit closer. But again, I'm skeptical on that. I hope I'm wrong. I hope Jazz Chisholm steals 90 bases and we get back to Ricky Henderson and Vince Coleman. But that's the thought process. Safety, but also trying to increase the running game.
Adnan Virk with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's talk some Astros baseball. How concerned are you with this pitching, losing Verlander and McCullers? We'll see when he gets back. Are the Astros still at the top of your – or where are the Astros as far as you're concerned this season?
Well, you know, certainly losing Verlander is one aspect of it, which hurts. I mean, the guy won the Cy Young at a 1.75 ERA, and McCullers could be an absolute horse. We know that. But one thing you've seen with the Astros is just how talented their depth is. I mean, Framber Valdez, for many teams, would be an ace, and now he'll step into that role. Christian Javier was tremendous. We saw him in the playoffs. Luis Garcia, even though he can't do the rocking back and forth now anymore, unfortunately, because of the rules, it's still fun to watch, and you can throw in a little bit of Jose Urquidy as well. So I think the Astros were well-positioned because they had depth at this point. But there's no doubt losing a Verlander is a sizable blow, especially since the colors are healthy up in the air. So they may still do some tinkering and trade for another guy, but I think it was the strength of their team a year ago. If you look at their pitching ranks, whether it was starters or relievers, they were neck and neck with the Yankees as far as best in the American League, and I don't see any reason that it shouldn't be too much of a drop-off this year. You know, if you don't have a great number five guy, fine. As long as those four can win the heat, it should be okay and eventually open the colors in his back. But we have seen in baseball today, five starters really isn't enough. You need six or seven because you do have to deal with those injuries at some point in time. But what I like with this Houston team is that the core remains intact. The offense is still there. And the fact they added Jose Abreu. Like, it's just laughable. When they made that movie, are you kidding me? This guy, all he does is driving runs. You can't think of a better guy in terms of, you know, tacking up all those RBIs over the last five seasons, and you add him to the lineup as an upgrade, if you're a little bit deficient in terms of pitching losing Verlander, you're certainly upgrading getting a Abreu.
Well, you know, one of the things that we know what we have here in Houston, at least we think we do, and most people do. I think the really interesting conversation that we've had here is, the Yankees have been the Astros, you know, counterpart, and the Astros have gotten the best of the Yankees. But I'll tell you what, Seattle was, it was a three-game series, but Seattle was they were a tough opponent last year in a sweep, I can tell you that. What are your thoughts on Seattle? They've made some moves this offseason. They're a younger team that should just be getting better just naturally. What are your thoughts on Seattle this year?
Yeah, they feel like a 90-win team, and they definitely feel like a team that I think is going to make the playoffs. And you're right, that the Yankees, the most important thing they had to do was, of course, re-sign Judge, but also adding Rodon, who has been a top-10 pitcher the last 2 years in baseball. Now, health is a concern with Rodon. He's not going to start the team healthy. Right away, that, you know, raises an eyebrow, at least. For Seattle, I mean, they're going to be a great challenger for the Astros in the West because they've got all the tools right now. You know, the pitching isn't as strong in terms of brand names, but once they got Luis Castillo, that changed everything. You know, all of a sudden now they have this ace atop the rotation, and again, a relatively no-name bullpen has been really sturdy for them and better than expected. I think offensively they made a good move in getting Josh Hernandez for the Blue Jays. Now that helps bolster their offense. He had 27 home runs a year ago with the Jays. He's got 25, 30 home run potential with Seattle. Will help out that offense. And they also tell that Jared Kelnick can finally come together. You know, he was the centerpiece that MVP has trade. They're not expecting a ton. Like, he's only going to hit, like, you know, 7th, 8th, or 9th. But if he can help supply a little more length in that lineup, that would be, I think, really important for this Seattle team. Because we all know the superstar that is Julio Rodriguez. And I don't imagine a sophomore slump. I think he's going to be tremendously in. You add him to Ty France in the world. The guys like him can add a lot of pop offensively. So Seattle's got to go score, and their pitching is pretty good. So they have a very balanced team on paper. Like I said, I expect 92 wins, and they're definitely the wild card team. And they'll push Houston for that division, no doubt about it.
Yeah. And what's underplayed, I think, is playing fewer division games now.
Yes.
You know, not playing the Angels, the A's, and the Rangers as much is a bad thing for the Astros. So I think that may adjust them a few wins anyway. And, you know, not having to play Seattle 19 times is also okay, though. That's okay by me. But certainly the Astros had the weakest division, and it showed in the standings as well.
Yeah, 100%. When you look at the intra-division games, like, 19 games is a lot. Like, you're really doing battle. Let's suppose you're in the American League East. You know how challenging that can be for a division in which you expect four teams to be above 500, the Yankees, the Rays, the Jays, and the O's. But similarly, as you said, in the West, you got three teams you can beat up on. Well, all of a sudden, that will level that playing field. So we've definitely seen that in the AL Central, which has been historically the last 5 years a bad division. Same thing with the NL Central. Right? The Cardinals just beat up on the bad teams that are the Cubs and the Pirates and the Reds. Now they actually have to deal with more contenders. So I am really curious to see how that balances things out, because the NL East looks really strong because of the Mets and the Phillies and obviously the Braves. And the West looks really tough because of the Padres and Dodgers and, of course, the American League East. So the Astros definitely have their hands full in terms of Seattle and a different division. But for a lot of people, they're the favorite for good reason. They won the World Series and they look formidable.
Ed Enberg, MLB Network and NHL Network host. We appreciate your time. Adnan S. Verk on Twitter. Follow him. We appreciate it, Adnan. Thanks for being here. We really appreciate you spending your time with us.
Of course, John Lance, I appreciate it. Boys, have a great season. And I got to shout out my buddy Robert Flores. Of course, Houston's own MLB Network college. He'll be waving the flag for the Astros.
He's awesome. Yeah. He is awesome.
Yeah, and for his Cougs all the time as well.
Yeah, I got Cougs too this week.
So he'll
as well.
He'll be sneaking the tournament glances as well.
Yep, and no question about it. Thanks, Adnan.
Thanks, boys. Take care.
All right, time to talk a little QC.
QC Kinetics, a company who uses regenerative therapy to make people better, make the joint pain, diminish the joint pain significantly in some cases, get rid of it. You know, if you live with chronic pain through arthritis, you know what it just changes your life. You just have to learn to live with pain, and that's that. And for some people, it's easier said than done. It's very difficult. And if you're one of those people, and even if you're not one of those people, there's no reason to have to live with pain when you have a company like QC Kinetics who do an amazing job of regenerative therapy. Regenerative therapy allows them to take the body's healing power. It really elevates it, and then they put it back into the joint. And what happens is the damaged tissue begins to become restored and regenerated, restored from the damaged tissue, regenerated to the lost tissue. So you get more of the tissue back. You get it restored to the to where it's supposed to be. That's when the pain really diminishes, and you start to see the mobility come back as well for a lot of different people. They can work with you no matter how severe your injuries are. They'll consult with you, and if they believe that they can help you, they will let you know. If they can't, they'll let you know that as well. But a lot of people have been going because it's such an amazing process that has been so good at taking people and giving them the chance to once again get back to living their best lives. Don't live with pain. Go with my friends over at QC Kinetics. 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285. That's QC Kinetics.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Golf Course Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.